Welcome and peace to you, Ashe, Ashe. This day, this beautiful day, even if a little cold, is not of our making, but it is a gift to us. Let us greet the day with joy and use it wisely. And now I'd like to invite the Cote Sinclair family to come forward and light our chalice and invite all of you to join in the unison words of chalice lighting printed in your order of service. This house is the cradle of our dreams and the workshop for our common endeavor. Within these walls, we again light the lamp of our caring, our faith, and our commitment to make our dreams a reality. I'm going to need a couple of helpers for our message for all ages today. Any young people that would like to help? Okay. We need two people. We need one person to be a very rich man. You want to be, he's already signed up. Okay, we got our rich person. And we need a poor widow. Is that a poor, Allie, you want to be the poor widow? We do. Sheena did it at the first service, so I'm going to get someone else. Okay, come on up. All right. And we also need one of our ushers this morning with the collection plate. Would you please come forward? I'm going to tell you a story that Jesus told. And it's a story about people going to the temple, to the church. And here we pass the plate, that silver plate, to collect our offering. But there you went up and there was a big box. And everybody had to go up and put their contribution into this big box, okay? And so when we come in, there's a very rich man who has this. What's that?
$50 bill.
Okay. All right. Keep an eye on him. And this guy, the rich guy, has millions and millions of dollars. Okay? But he's going to go up to the plate and put in his offering now. And over here we have a poor widow. She has very little money. In fact, all she has is how much?
2 pennies.
And she's now going to make her offering. She's going to take her 2 pennies and put them in the offering plate. Okay. So, now I've got a question. Who gave the most money? Yes. Right to the quick we're going on this one. I got you. Go ahead. Say it again. Okay. In actual dollars amount, the rich guy who gave the $50 gave the most money, right? But this poor widow gave all the money she had. So she didn't really give the most money, but she was the most generous. Right? And that's what our service is about today. It's about generosity. And it's really not how much you give, but it's how much you believe to give. It's how much of what you have you give. And so it's clearly the widow is the more generous of the two people. Well, thank you for your help with the story. I'll take the $50 bill back. You can have the 2 pennies. I made my pledge this morning. It's okay.
Good morning. I am Kevin O'Brien, a member of the Board of Trustees and a member of the Capital Projects Committee. Some 20 years ago, we here at First Parish recognized the need for more classroom and meeting space and planned and built the fellowship hall across the parking lot. At that time, it was planned that we build a connector between the church and hall. It was a modest, single-story connector that would make cover as we move from one building to the other. We didn't raise as much money as we wanted to, and while we built the hall, we did not build the connector. 6 or 7 years ago, We again grappled with the problem of not having enough space for our various activities. In true UU fashion, we convened several committees to study the problem and come up with solutions. 5 years ago, we began a feasibility study to see how our campus could accommodate our growing congregation, and we hired outside consultants. You may remember at that time we had drew schematic plans to expand this sanctuary. By one possibility was moving the front of the church closer to Great Road. The other was to put a larger addition on the rear of the church. And we also investigated enlarging the hall and looked at different uses for the parsonage. But our issues by this time were not just space. The organization of our spaces was a problem, where the office administrator cannot see the entrance. Staff offices are located in spaces meant for other uses. We have meeting rooms, but not of an appropriate size. And we have technical accessibility for handicapped persons, but we don't have practical accessibility. And we have no obvious entrance for the church. After much soul searching, we decided to hold two services each Sunday. And this took the pressure off making very expensive changes to this historic sanctuary, and allowed us to concentrate on the other problems, and concentrate we did, eventually coming up with a plan that we have today. And for those of us who have been working on these issues for many years, the proposed connector building cannot be built soon enough. As most of you are aware, we didn't collect enough money and pledges on our capital campaign to build the first connector we designed. We reduced the size of the building and have now proposed a connector that will serve us very well, and which many in the congregation think is actually more appropriate than the first design. But we still don't have enough money to build that, and we have asked the congregation to supplement their pledges, and that is why I'm speaking to you today. Today is the end of our annual budget stewardship drive, and it is very important to meet the goals of this drive to provide the human and monetary resources that our church community needs to operate. We have planned that our drive for the supplemental pledges to our capital campaign would also end today, but I'm here to tell you that if you need a few more days, we will understand, and if you haven't pledged yet, I will encourage you to do so. Today, when you go over to Fellowship Hall to have coffee, chat with your friends, pick up your kids from RE, buy fair trade products, or do any of the things we do over there, I'd ask that you think what your Sunday morning experience would be without that building. If later you attend the forum on immigration, just imagine, where would we hold that event if we didn't have the hall building? Many in this room helped build that building. But many of you have come to the church since and benefit by the dedication of forward-thinking individuals who in the past thought this community was important enough that they would dig deep to provide a facility which would ultimately allow us to live our mission to care for each other and for those in the world around us. When I entered this sanctuary, I think of the people who over 150 years ago thought this community and its efforts were important enough that they shared their personal wealth to give us this beautiful building. I sit here Sundays not just appreciating the beauty and the way it makes me feel, but I also want to thank those folks I'll never know, because I feel part of something much bigger than myself. It is a good feeling and makes me proud. We now have the opportunity to do something for ourselves and for our Unitarian Universalists next year and next century. 20 years from now, when a person for the first time comes to visit our church or attend a program, he or she will see just where the entrance is. If they're in a wheelchair, they'll see they can go anywhere at all in all of the buildings. If they're planning a meeting, they'll see we have a variety of meeting room sizes to meet their needs. And they'll take it all for granted, just as we do our buildings. But if they come here enough, they may someday think, who were the great people who gave us this great facility? I know it is you people out there who will do this. Last year we raised a lot of money, more than enough to build the connector, But we knew that we had to take care of our current buildings too, especially this beautiful sanctuary. And this year we're asking you to give more so we can build the connector we need. And we asked you to give a lot of money, at least $200,000. Through the incredible generosity of one member of our congregation, the first $100,000 that we raise will be matched. This means the rest of us just have to come up with $100,000. And today, we have raised over $74,000 of supplemental pledges. Those of us who have been working on this project for 7 or 8 years can taste how close we are to completing the next big improvement in our community's facilities. The final plans are being drawn, and we have a builder. But we still need to raise another $26,000. And I know we can do it, but you have to decide to do it. And it's easy. You can pay this over 5 years. So if you think you can afford to contribute just $100 or $200 a year, that's a $500 or $1,000 contribution. This is an opportunity for those of you who can't give a lot to make a big difference by giving a little, spacing it over 5 years. You may, of course, give in any way you please. We have an opportunity, some say maybe an obligation, to facilitate the work of future UUs who will utilize the efficiencies that our connector building will bring. We have an opportunity to make it easier for ourselves to make a contribution to the world by our efforts, made easier and more effective by the buildings we provide our community. So it is our turn to step up. It is our turn to be part of the history of a wonderful, caring, effective church community, now and for decades to come. I'm hoping that every one of you can feel this and be part of this. Spread over 5 years, it's easy, and it means so much. I urge you to please make this happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. When I was preparing the message for all ages to deliver this morning, I couldn't help but think of a story that Jim Eisenberg gave to me a few years ago. I've told it once or twice before, but it seems so appropriate for today, I dug it up again. It's a story about an old $50 bill and a $1 bill that are being returned to the Federal Reserve Bank for destruction. They're proceeding down the conveyor belt towards the furnace. The $50 bill and the $1 bill are reminiscing about their days in circulation. The $50 bill said, "Why, I've been everywhere. I've been to fine restaurants in New York, been to beautiful hotels in San Francisco. I've even been on a cruise." And then the $1 bill replied, "Well, I've been to the Methodist Church, the Catholic Church, the Baptist Church, and the Unitarian Church." To which the $50 bill replied, "What's a church?" Your mission is to remedy the situation and make sure that all the $50 bills and their larger denominational relatives know what a church is. The morning offering will now be gratefully accepted. Thank you, choir, and thank you, Julian, for being our guest conductor today. Mike is at a conference this weekend, so we're trying to make him proud with even when he's not here. I want to start with something pretty basic. Although sometimes I know we feel boxed in, we feel that our path, be it professional or personal, may have been pretty much set for us. The truth is, as we journey on this path of life, we are faced with lots and lots of choices. Sometimes they're momentous choices that we know will have great consequences and to which we therefore give great thought. But we make small choices every day that add up to larger decisions on how we will live our lives. And one of the most basic kinds of choices we all make, one that I believe really determines in large part the quality of the life we live, are the choices that we make about how we use what we have. I'm talking about our talents, our gifts, our time, our resources, even our love. You know, sometimes I forget how much I have and how fortunate I am to have what I have. Even if this has not been a good economic time for you or your family, when you look at many other places in the world, even in our own country, you can't help but realize how much more you have. What you have, what we have, is unimaginable to many people. And we also have something else. We have the freedom and the opportunity to do what we choose with our resources. I'd like to share with you some words from the Reverend Rebecca Parker, president of the Stars King School of Ministry. She writes, "Your gifts, whatever you discover them to be, can be used to bless or curse the world. The mind's power, the strength of hands, the reach of the heart, the gift of speaking, listening, imagining, seeing, waiting. Any of these can serve to feed the hungry, bind up wounds, welcome the stranger, praise what is sacred, do the work of justice, or offer love. And any of these can draw down the prison door, hoard bread, abandon the poor, obscure what is holy, comply with injustice, or withhold love. You must answer the question, what will you do with your gifts? Choose to bless the world. The choice to bless the world can take you into solitude to search for the source of power and grace, native wisdom, healing, and liberation. But more, the choice will draw you into community, the endeavor shared, the heritage passed on, the companionship of struggle, the importance of keeping faith, the life of ritual and praise, the comfort of human friendship, the company of earth, its chorus of life welcome you. None of us alone can save the world. Together, there's another possibility. What we do with our gifts, with our time, our talents, with our hearts that are so capable of love and our minds so capable of planning, what we do with our money, this is the question we're called to examine every day, but especially in relationship to our church during its annual stewardship campaign and its continuing capital campaign. We've called this Sunday a celebration Sunday because we have a lot to celebrate. So many people have made generous decisions about how they use what they have. They bless this church and this community. You heard this morning the progress that we've made on our capital improvements project and how close we actually are to beginning the construction of that connector building. And what a blessing that will be, making us safer for our children and our elders and for those with mobility issues, for all of us. It'll make us truly handicapped accessible, provide much needed new space to better serve the needs, not just of our church, but also of the greater community that rely on this facility. Truth is, we ask a lot of you, and we're still asking more. You know, we hear it said all the time that in our government, we're not preparing for our children, for our future. But boy, that's not the case here. This church and its members and friends are using what they have to bless the world right now and will pass on an even better institution, facility, and program to the next generation. It's not easy, but individually and collectively, we have thought a lot about what we do with what we have. And we've made the decision that putting our resources to work here is what we want to do with our gifts. It's the way we can bless the world. And today, we celebrate each other's generosity and our own. In the past few weeks, many of you have already made a generous pledge for the upcoming year, and many of you have increased your capital campaign gifts. And many of you are giving just incredible amounts of time and talent to this church, especially to the Capital Improvements Project. This celebration Sunday is a time when I get the privilege to express to you the thanks of this entire community, and even the thanks of those who will be the future community. Although we call this particular Sunday Stewardship Sunday, in a way, every Sunday is Stewardship Sunday, because every week there are new opportunities to use what you have to bless the world. 2 weeks ago, our Religious Education Sunday, we invited you to follow the yellow brick road to coffee hour, where there were many opportunities to sign up in different ways to help with RE. Did you see that table called Dads Who Dare to Teach RE that Russ Campbell was manning? Do you know how many dads signed up at that table? Nearly 20. I cannot think of any other church where that would happen. We need to celebrate that and be inspired by that. This afternoon at 12:45, we'll have another forum on the difficult issues relating to immigration. I hope you'll be there. A tremendous amount of work has gone into it, not just this one event, but also many, many events that help us to contribute to justice and peace in the world. Time after time, we as individuals and as a congregation have used our resources to stand on the side of love. And look at this building with a new roof, new lighting, new insulation, new electrical wiring. Look what we've done together to be good stewards of this historic gem. You know, of course we can't do everything, but we can do a lot more than we think we can at first glance, and we're proving that every day. You know, when I write a stewardship sermon, I always worry that it might be uncomfortable for those who are experiencing financial difficulty. If that's you, please don't let it be. Before I go any further, I want to say that we want you fully involved in the life of this church, regardless of what you are able to contribute financially. Many of you give so generously of your time and talents, and we appreciate that greatly. And I also know that we have many folks living on very small fixed income, and some of them, like the widow in the children's story, give an extraordinary gift in the light of their circumstances. You bless us with your examples of generosity. We also have folks among us who earn substantial income and have significant assets. And this church simply cannot run without your larger gifts. Some have already got their pledges in, but many of us have not yet made our pledge for next year. More than half of those who have pledged thus far have raised their pledge by 10%, as the stewardship committee asked of us. But many of us are still considering what we'll pledge. This is the Sunday when we officially end our campaign, so we hope you'll be able to fill out your pledge card if you've not already done so, and capital campaign gift card this morning. We'll hand out cards and envelopes at the end of the sermon, and if you've not already pledged, we'd really appreciate it. It would be very helpful if you did so this morning for our stewardship committee. You will be able to drop them off as you leave the church with the ushers and members of that committee. And if you've already pledged and you feel particularly inspired to raise it, we'll be glad to take the higher figure too. I have to confess, I'm one of those folks who waits to the last minute to pledge. I just turned mine in. And because I always struggle with what to give, you know, no matter where you stand on the economic spectrum, during this stewardship campaign, I hope you have or you will take some time to carefully reflect on your generosity to the church, this your spiritual practice of generosity, and what the amount of your pledge should be, what the right amount is for you. Figuring out how much to give is not easy, For me, there's always this big conflict. On the one hand, the amount that I would truly like to give when I think how important the church is to me and to the community. And when I think about that amount, I'm not thinking at all about any other expenses like the mortgage or the car payment or the fuel bills. All are far from my mind when I'm thinking of that kind of giving. And then on the other hand, there's the budget-minded me, the one who thinks, well, I'll have to carefully calculate what's left after I've paid all those other bills and then see what I can contribute. Well, I'm here to tell you I don't think either method is the way to determine the amount you should give. A generous gift has to push us a bit. It should not be just what's left over after everything else is paid. But neither should it cause us great distress and require that other bills go unpaid to fulfill your pledge. You know, there's a rather silly story that ministers like to tell on Stewardship Sundays, and perhaps it can give us a bit of guidance in calculating a pledge. In our time of increasing vegetarianism and healthy eating, I'm afraid it may no longer be politically correct to tell this story for too long, so I think I'll do it this Sunday. Out in the Midwest, in the heart of farming country, a big new billboard goes up along the highway, and it depicts what it calls the Great American Breakfast, a big plate of eggs and bacon. On the other side of the highway from the billboard is a farm. And one particular day, a chicken and a pig are standing side by side, gazing at the billboard. The chicken says to the pig, "Doesn't it make you proud to know how much we contribute to the good of humankind?" The pig responds, "I'm not so sure about that. For you, it's only a generous donation, but to me, it's total commitment." On this Stewardship Sunday, you may rest assured that no one is going to ask you to make the kind of contribution the poor pig was required to make. We much prefer you to be a living example of what it means to be a Unitarian Universalist rather than a martyr for the cause. What we ask of you is to make the kind of contribution, perhaps, that the chicken made, one that makes you proud to know how much you have contributed to the good, a pledge you can feel good about because it's truly generous for you. The Reverend Marilyn Sewell once wrote, "When we give, we feel the depth of our powers to create, to heal, to love. These are spiritual powers which, when exercised, enlarge our souls. When we give and when our gift is received, both the giver and the receiver are blessed. Giving is an exercise of spiritual power. In our celebration today, what we're celebrating is the spiritual practice of generosity, which is fundamental to every one of the world's great religions. The Buddha put it this way, if you knew, as I do, the power of giving, you would not let a single meal pass without sharing some of it. And the Buddha was not alone in emphasizing the importance of generosity as a principle of faith. According to the Reverend Lynn Unger, if you look at the Bible, both the Jewish and Christian scriptures, you'll find that one verse in eight deals with the relationship between faith and how you use your money and possessions. Of the Ten Commandments, three provide instructions on how you should use your money and possessions. And of the 38 or so parables of Jesus, one that you heard this morning, 16 deal with the relationship of what you say you believe and how you use your money and possessions. In fact, of everything that Jesus talked about, the number two topic is, guess what? The use of money and possessions. And Islam is no less bashful in addressing the importance of generous giving. One of the five pillars or principal teachings of Islam is zakat, which is the requirement that every Muslim each year give 2.5% of his or her total assets. That's total assets, not income. 2.5% of total assets every year. Religions guide us in so many ways as to how we should live our lives. But primary among their teachings is the importance of generosity to us, the giver, and, of course, to the community in the world that receives the gift. One of my recently retired colleagues, the Reverend Tom Owen Toll, wrote, "The older I get, the more I realize that the primary religious quality is generosity, giving liberally of our time, talent, and resources to those communities that bring us abundant life." You know, that really captures it for me. The things we value about this church are those things that bring us abundant life, that bring abundant life to others. What we celebrate here today is not building buildings or raising money. It's making possible those things that bring about abundant life. And it's everywhere here. It's in our music programs, our religious education program, our shared ministry, our worship, our reaching out to the world with love and justice, our support of each other, the learning times, just the good times. It all is about fostering abundant life now and for those who come after. It's what we're called to do. And you got to do when the Spirit says do. What our stewardship campaign, what our capital campaign really asks of us is to honestly embrace the spiritual practice of generosity. To do what the Spirit says do. To give, to build, to help, to support when the Spirit says do. If we do, we can do a great deal with what we have. And you know, what you do with what you have determines what we do with what we have. I hope you'll use what you have, your time, your talent, and your treasure, to bless this community, and doing so truly bless yourself. There's no escaping the fact that we need your generous pledges to continue to do what we do here. Our stewardship committee has asked everyone to consider raising their pledge by 10%. And as I don't feel right in asking you to do something that I don't do, I've done that with my pledge this year. And we still need about $25,000 to complete the matching gift, and maybe more than that, so we can add some of the options which really are important to this new facility we're building. I already made a substantial pledge to that campaign, but I found a way to add to that. I know it's a lot that we ask, but think of the ways it blesses our lives and the lives of others. So I invite you now to engage in the spiritual practice of generosity. If you've not pledged, please complete the pledge card that's now being handed out, and you can leave them off as you leave the church at the end of the service. Thank you so much for your generosity of time, talent, and financial resources to this institution. You enable us to let our light shine, and with it bless the world. May it shine for generations to come, even more brightly than it does today. Thank you.
Thank you.